Upgrade your learning experience during Dell Technologies Back to School event with AI PCs like the Dell 14 Plus featuring an Intel Core Ultra processor starting at $749.99. Supercharge your studies with features like real-time notes transcription, AI-accelerated hardware to run multiple apps without slowing down, extended battery life, and more. That's the power of new AI PCs with Intel Inside. Discover a smarter way to learn at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
We're full service here, man. You come here, you get everything.
The Rich Eisen Show.
A dislocated toe. Sounds pretty damn bad.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I like Justin Fields.
A dislocated toe in his right foot. He's day to day.
He could be back tomorrow.
Okay.
See?
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
I need to put that foot in some Epsom salts. Get that swelling out of there.
Earlier on the show, three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth. Coming up, Steelers general manager Omar Khan. Three-time Emmy Award-winning actor Tony Hale. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Can confirm it. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. It's a What's More Likely Friday. Christopher Brockman, you ready for that later on this hour?
Yeah, absolutely.
I appreciate that. That was a rhetorical question. I know you're ready.
Yeah.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. Mr. Tony Hale, the actor from back in the day, Arrested Development and Veep, is making his way to our show studio right here and right now. He's going to be on in hour number three. Great chat with Mark Schlereth in hour number one. But we kick off hour number two with a man who, if I'm not mistaken, is commemorating his 25th season in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization and his third as general manager. Not bad for a native New Orleanian now making his living there in Western PA. The general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, Omar Khan, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Omar?
Great. How are you? Actually, my first day at the Steelers was Valentine's Day 2001.
Ah, wow. Yeah. So I guess Cupid shot the arrow between you and the organization on that day,
Must have been. Yeah, that's how I always remember when my first day was.
And who hired you? Who brought you in the organization, Omar?
It was Dan Rooney and Art Rooney were the primary people I met with, and then obviously Kevin Colbert, who I have a great relationship with to this day. And it's hard to believe it's been that long and it's gone by so fast, but some great memories and some great experiences and met some awesome people.
Man, what is or was a job interview with Dan Rooney like, Omar?
Well, you know, I was born and raised in New Orleans, right? And I grew up the biggest Saints fan ever. Mm-hmm. I love the Saints, and I'm probably one of the few people that I'm sure a lot of people felt, and I never thought I'd ever leave New Orleans, to be honest with you. Just growing up, you know, I love the Saints. I had the opportunity to work for the Saints. I loved it. But, you know, the Steelers called and had the opportunity to interview with, you know, the Rooney family. And, you know, right, growing up, I thought the Saints were the greatest. The 80, what was it, like the teams, you know, when I was a kid.
The Dome Patrol. They, you were Dome Patrolling, you know, right?
Correct. Yeah. I thought they were the greatest, you know. And I used to talk about the like that Dome Patrol is being the greatest linebacker corps ever. You know, my dad would tell me about this guy named Jack Lambert and Jack Ham. And, you know, I would tell him about how, you know, we had a running back named Reuben Mays, you know, when I was growing up.
Yeah.
And he was like rookie of the year and like had like two straight 1,000-yard seasons. And, you know, my dad would tell me about this guy named Franco Harris. And so, you know, I obviously knew a lot about the Steelers, had a lot of respect for this organization. And, you know, they called out of the blue and had the opportunity to interview. And I said, absolutely, you know, an opportunity to meet with the Rooney. And I got to tell you, it's everything you hear about. It is that way. The family's just great. And I've loved my time here, and Western PA is truly, truly a great place to be.
Too. No doubt. Omar Khan here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's just jump into it. Obviously, it's an Aaron Rodgers world that pretty much everybody's paying rent in right now, waiting for Rodgers. How are you able to remain so patient on that, Omar?
I mean, somebody asked me about that the other day, and I could say, like, you know, we don't really view our patience as a weakness. I view it as a strength. And, we had some conversations, and we were engaged with him and just felt really good about it, our chances. And, we went through the evaluation process early and felt like he was going to be the right guy for us if we could land the plane. And, we were just willing to go. He did a great job of communicating with us. You know, I don't know what the narrative was out there.
I could tell you what the narrative was out there, Omar Khan. You know, I mean, and it was how could an organization, and even Cam Hayward on his podcast kind of, you know, hinted at it, and I jabbed at him as well for it. Like, we're the Steelers, you know, if you want to play, come play, you know. And so when you're saying he was communicative, was he was reaching out to you? Were you kind of erasing some texts and go, nah, I should back off, or hit send? Like, was that part of the process? Seriously, Omar.
Just open dialogue, and we knew where he stood. You know what was going on with him, and he knew where we were, and you know, it just felt really, really comfortable with the process.
Okay, and so in that regard, then my condolences on your season being over, because Rodgers threw an interception in his first attempt in training camp, Omar. my apologies to everybody in the organization. But in all seriousness, what do you want to see over the next few weeks? Like, if you could map this out for this offense, Jonnu Smith you added as well, and DK Metcalf, what do you want to see as the general manager over the next 6 weeks before the opener in MetLife?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the thing for me is I just want to see, we feel really good about the talent here. So just watching these guys evolve and come together. And that's the beauty of being here at St. Vincent College and going away for training camp. You know, it's all football, and guys are getting to know each other. And, it's just really the process of coming together as a team. And, you know, I've been a part of three teams that have been in the Super Bowl. We won two of them, and I've seen the impact of being here and the camaraderie that's formed and the cohesiveness. And I think if you speak to any Super Bowl champion, they'll tell you that how important the closeness of the collective is in that locker room. And that's what we're here for, and that's what I'm looking forward to watch the progression here. We had our first practice yesterday, and lots more to come.
What are you willing to share of the collaboration between Arthur Smith and Aaron Rodgers, how that works from your granular spot, Omar?
Yeah, it's just obviously we know Arthur. We've been around him for a couple of years and known him through the years. And, they have a relationship, and we wouldn't have done it if we didn't think it was going to be a really good one. And it hasn't disappointed.
Okay. And so in terms of putting things together for this team, you bring in DK Metcalf, you pay him a significant amount of money. The thing that I'm wondering, and I hear from a lot of Steeler fans, is why did George Pickens have to go? Like, why would you trade him away after bringing him in, developing him, and obviously seeing a certain talent level? What you're willing to share on that front, Omar?
Yeah, Rich, I'll just say, as we went through the offseason and the process, it just became evident that for both sides, a fresh start was probably the best thing. It just made sense for both of us.
And then a massive trade like the one you pulled off with Miami, involving so many talented players, doesn't just happen overnight. How long were you cultivating that caper, Omar Khan?
It was weeks. There were several moving parts. But with Miami, we have a great relationship with those guys, and it was weeks.
Okay. And the TJ Watt signing, Omar.
Yeah.
Getting it done. No doubt a relief for everybody involved. Yeah. What would you say about the contract you gave TJ Watt and what it means, Omar?
Without going to specifics of the numbers, I think it just reflects how we feel about him. And it was important, and I talked about this at the combine, it was important for me and for the organization to have TJ be a one-helmet Hall of Famer. It would be a great thing. And, you know, hopefully there's many, many more years to go with TJ, but it was just important. I mean, his numbers speak for themselves. And, you know, I don't know how many of you guys have gotten to know him, but he's an even as great of a player as he is. He's an even better person.
Well, I love him. I mean, there's nothing to dislike about TJ Watt, right? And in so many different ways. Plus, he seems to be the perfect avatar for a Steeler. You know what I mean? And also for somebody who can, I don't think Tomlin needs help selling, but you know, you obviously you need big time players who have already bought in that locker room selling. And he seems to me that guy as well, along with Cam Hayward, if you just want to mention a couple of players on defense. Omar.
Yeah, right. We feel really good about our locker room, but obviously those guys that are been here for a few years, you know, they have the biggest impact, and you know, TJ's one of them, and obviously Cam too.
And Jalen Ramsey now coming to this team, and Jonnu Smith on top of it. We saw what you did in the draft as well. You hit that defensive line for sure. And starting off with Derek Harmon, you got Yaya Black of Iowa. You hit the defensive line again with Jack Sawyer on top of it. The guy that jumps out at me is Caleb Johnson. How much of a role do you envision him having with Jalen Warren? Obviously, Najee Harris now is down the street from this studio in Southern California. How much of a role do you see the Iowa rookie running back having for this team?
Yeah, I think the next couple of weeks here in Latrobe will dictate that. But there's definitely an opportunity, and he's been great. He's been great since we got him here. I mean, he's learning. He's working hard. He's in great shape. So, you know, the opportunity's there, and that's what training camp's for. I think we got 3 more weeks here in Latrobe, maybe 3.5, and, you know, we'll see how it all shakes out.
And your plan for Will Howard, the quarterback that you did take in this draft, Omar Khan, is what? What's your vision here for him?
Well, we were excited. I was excited to get Will. He'll tell you, we spent every opportunity we had to talk to him and get to know him. You know, we did, you know, in Indianapolis, the pro day. And, you know, we just like what we see and think there's a bright future there. And, you know, he has a great opportunity to learn from one of the best quarterbacks ever while he's here. And I know he's doing that. He's asking a lot of questions and he's observing. You know, he's an opportunity to learn from Mason Rudolph, who's been great. You know, he spent several years here with us and he's back. So he has an opportunity to learn and grow, and a lot, obviously some things have to come together, but I think the future is bright for him.
And obviously this is a question that's difficult for you to answer. So my apologies for asking it straight up front. Omar Khan is, you know, Rodgers said he pretty much thinks this is a 1-year deal, right? Like this is 1 year for him last year in the pros. Do you envision any scenario in which this could be a longer stay in Pittsburgh if he's so inclined? Omar?
I mean, sure. You know, I obviously, you know, we have to see how the season goes, but sure. I absolutely, you know, he's a young 41, and, you know, we're obviously taking it year by year, and that's where we're at. But, you know, we're not obviously not closing the door on anything.
And a couple other questions for you. Clearly, again, defensive tackle, that middle of that defensive line was something that you wanted to approach in the draft. There is now a player of note in Christian Wilkins that has been released by the Las Vegas Raiders. I know there's a lot going on with him as to surrounding the details of his release and his health, but is that a tire you're potentially going to kick in Pittsburgh, Omar?
You know, I don't really know what's going on there. I know it's pretty fresh, but we feel good about the group that we got, Rich. We really do. You know, we added YA and Derek, and you know, we still got Cam, who's just awesome. And, so we're pretty focused on the group we got.
Okay. And then my last couple questions for you, Omar Khan, involve a lot of things that I hear from Steeler fans, and I'm wondering how it rests with you as the general manager. I have been roasted on occasion on radio stations there and other places in Western PA for having a particular affection for your head coach and Mike Tomlin and his abilities. And there's a lot of folks in Pittsburgh that are a little bit maybe fatigued as to the results over the last few years under his management. What do you think of when you hear that sort of conversation about Mike Tomlin, Omar?
Yeah, I can tell you, Mike and I communicate every day, and like I've said this before, I've never met anybody that's got a greater passion for the game of football than he does. And he's just, you know, we have a lot of fun together, and we both share the same goal and vision, and that's to be Super Bowl champions here, and we're working toward it. And you know, just, you know, excited. You know, we both love it. Don't have a lot of hobbies. You know, and
Pardon me, you don't have a lot of hobbies. What do you mean by that, Omar?
Family and football, that's what we do. You know, we work hard day in and day out to try to bring us another Super Bowl championship to Pittsburgh.
So you pay it no mind, the conversation surrounding his tenure in Pittsburgh, Omar?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really listen to any of the noise like that. You know, I'm focused on, we're focused on winning a championship.
Okay, and then lastly, the quarterback room the last couple of years, with Russell Wilson and now obviously Aaron Rodgers, and signing a wide receiver after trading for him and paying him all the money that you did, the trades for Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith and these particular roster maneuvers and waiting for Rodgers as long as you have, the conversation surrounding that is these are un-Steeler-like maneuvers, right? This is not the sort of way that the Steelers normally run their business. How do you respond to that as well, Omar?
That's a good question. I mean, we're just, you know, I'm just doing my part and trying to do whatever I can to bring a championship to Pittsburgh. You know, I think the dynamics of maybe how teams are built is maybe changing a little bit, and you know, we've adjusted, and but you know, every one of those moves is unique in their own way. And you know, we looked at them, they made sense, but you know, we're just trying to win a championship.
I hear you. Hey, have a great season. The whole country's going to be watching, not only because just Steeler fans are everywhere, and the interest in this franchise is so robust nationally, internationally. You're going to Ireland, which I'm sure is going to be huge for the Rooney family, because Dan Rooney was the ambassador there for a few years for this country. Whole country's going to be watching, man. From the very beginning, with Rodgers showing up, he's taking on Green Bay. My goodness, DK Metcalf seeing his old team right off the bat. Rodgers is seeing his old team right off the bat. I mean, it's going to be on, and I wish you the best of luck with this schedule, sir.
Thanks for having me on. I can tell you, we're all looking forward to this game in Ireland.
I
had the opportunity to visit the ambassador a couple times when he was over there as ambassador, and it is an awesome, awesome place. Like, it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, I can't. I honestly can't even fathom. I've been fortunate to call a lot of these international games, Omar, London, Germany.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the Ireland assignment is not mine, but. My gosh, I can't even imagine what the scene is going to be like there with the Steelers and Vikings having at it.
Come on, you have an open invitation.
No, Omar, I could tell you what my schedule is right now. I would be there if I could. I will be a fort holder on that day for the National Football League Network, you might have heard of. But I can't wait to see it. That's going to be unreal. Just an unreal environment. So soak that in.
I can't wait.
Okay. Best to everybody there. Say hi to Coach Tomlin for me. I appreciate
Will
it.
Do.
All right, man. Thanks
for
the time, Omar.
Yeah, take care.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Take
That's
care.
Omar Khan, the Steelers general manager, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm not kidding, man. The whole country, we've talked about this.
Oh, yeah.
Week after week after week, day after day. Unbelievable. Can't wait. And you heard his answers. I mean, I kind of went down the laundry list of all the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks and months, and
we've probably talked more about the Steelers in the last couple of months than we, you know,
I'll be honest,
normally do in an offseason.
Everybody needs Christian Wilkins if he's healthy.
Fact.
Right? I heard your Pats are kicking tires. I mean, I think everyone's probably doing their homework right now.
Absolutely.
Because that's a position you can't have enough of.
Right.
You know who's probably flipping? We'll talk about this later on. But I know of one team that's definitely like putting on their hope chest that this guy's healthier than the Raiders make it out to be. You could guess. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial right here on the program. So What's More Likely Friday, we'll take your phone calls as well when we come back right here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you know we love talking movies around here. You know we love talking comedy around here. We also love talking about classics around here.
So, you know what I'm all about. That said, all of that said, you know how I must have felt when I was sitting in the movie theater like I was the other day watching the previews, and up came a preview for The Naked Gun with Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. That preview had me at hello. I loved Police Squad back in the day. I loved The Naked Gun back in the day. And here comes The Naked Gun once again with, yes, Liam Neeson as Frank Drebin Jr. Come on now. Son of the celebrated Police Squad Lieutenant Frank Drebin from the original movie. Paul Walter Hauser's in this movie also. Pamela Anderson. Guess who also makes an appearance? WWE superstar Cody Rhodes, and the producer of the movie is Seth MacFarlane, the creator of The Family Guy. Come on now. This is going to be so much fun. I'm excited to see The Naked Gun in theaters on August 1st. So, what are you doing August 1st? Of course, you're going to a theater near you, and you're seeing The Naked Gun. I might even be there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
It was 96, and it was the week before Michigan-Ohio State game. You know, I got to practice. I wasn't feeling well. My back was a little tight, and I told the trainer, you know, my back is not feeling right. He was like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about it. So, you know, we're in practice, and he calls me over a couple of times.
Coach
Carr.
Yeah.
You know, he was like, you know, you're not paying attention. He said, hey, if you're not going to pay attention, then you can just leave. And I turned around. I walked out the field, walked into the locker room, put my clothes back on. I walked to the dorm. And I was like, man, I'm transferring. I'm out of here.
You walked out on Coach Carr and Michigan practice, Ohio State week, saying, I'm leaving.
I'm gone. Going to Coach Carr's office. You know, he asked me a question. He's like, you think you justified yourself by walking off the field? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I don't think you had to make an example out of me. He was like, you know what? Well, you're not playing this week. I walked back down to Vance Beffer's office. He was like, I told you. Just go down there and just apologize. You know what? He picks up the phone. I don't know what he's doing. Miss Woodson, I told this boy to go down there and apologize, and that's all he had to do. Here, you talk to him. So I'm talking to my mom. She was like, what's the problem? I'm like, you know, my coach wants me to go down there and apologize. I'm like, I'm not apologizing. She was like, Charles. She said, I understand. I know you're mad and you're angry. She said, if you're not going to apologize for yourself, then do it for me.
Oh, boy.
Come on, man. So I said, okay. I get up, I go down.
Did it for mom.
I did it for mom, man. Apologized to coach. He said, well, you know what? Good, Charles. You're playing this week.
And decades later, Charles Woodson was presented for enshrinement in the Pro Football Hall of Fame by his mother. Moms know best is the ultimate headline from that soundbite. Great chat so far, if I may say so.
Yes.
It was very Rome of me to compliment myself. Seth in Brooklyn, you're on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Seth?
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
What's going on?
First of all, I just want to say congrats to you and the whole team on the new coming back to ESPN thing. You all deserve it.
I appreciate that.
Day in and day
out.
Thank
you. It's the proverbial offer I could not refuse to go back to where my roots are and where my career started and stay with NFL Network. You know, so
love it.
Thank you, Seth. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no worries. So I know you guys were doing the 10 to 12 teams, the Aaron Rodgers special on paper that could win Super Bowl potentially. But they had a little variation to that that I thought maybe would be a little more fun to do if you guys are up for it.
And that would be?
So, you know, in fantasy football, when your season doesn't quite shake out the way you hoped, you end up in the consolation bracket.
The consolation bracket, okay, of the NFL? Yeah. Is that what you're saying? Who's in the consolation bracket of the NFL?
Yeah, I figured, you know, we could, you know, 80% of, I think, everyone's 10 to 12 teams is kind of the same. So I figured we could take those remaining teams and maybe you guys could pick who you think would emerge victorious from the quote-unquote consolation teams.
Interesting. All right, Steph, I greatly appreciate that.
That's pretty fun.
And then whoever wins, the banner gets made up by the same company that made up the Colts AFC Central banners, right, that they used to hang?
Absolutely.
And people used to make fun of? Great. All the time, including somebody like myself here in 2025.
The Lakers in-season tournament winner.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's true.
So who would, I guess, would Denver win it if I said that Denver wasn't one of the teams of my 15 for me?
Right, for you. Bracket? I mean, for me, maybe Cincinnati. Mm. I'm also looking at maybe Dallas. Miami might be on there.
Miami's just an interesting team. And thanks for the call, Seth.
I don't have the Vikings. Maybe Minnesota.
Miami is a fascinating team for me.
They're a shrug emoji team.
Well, it depends on Tua's health, right?
Yep.
And it depends on the players that got all hurt on defense last year and their health coming back. I mean, Jalen Phillips needs to be healthy and
stay, a lot of guys hurt. Yeah.
Stay intact with non-contact, right?
Yep.
Chubb, I mean, they who that secondary now that Ramsey's gone and Minka Fitzpatrick is in, how will that work? They're kind of green on that back end, right?
Number 10.
They're still, but they are the fastest team in the league.
Yep.
You can make that case, and I'm sure there's a bunch of other teams that are with players who are fast would say, hold on a second, I'm pretty damn fast, but a collection of people fast with a quarterback who can get the ball out fast and on time and accurately in an offense that Mike McDaniel cooks up in his laboratory, right? And then it's also what Tua was very honest about the other day in saying, hey, when Tyreek Hill says, I'm gone, I'm out, you can't just show back up and say, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was quite telling and some excellent leadership by Tua to just put it out there and not just say, yeah, you know what? Nothing to see here, and then behind the scenes, there's something to see there. He's kind of calling him out, which is what I would do if either one of you guys said, I'm out.
Right.
You know, like the umpteenth time we got nominated and didn't win.
Yeah, I'm out of
here. I'm out of here.
With all due respect.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, totally.
It would take something for you guys to just say, you know what, I'll stay. Like, really? Because we're competing every day, you know?
Yep.
Mike McDaniel today was asked about Tua's very open book on this matter in his press conference.
In any relationship, trust is built through transparency. And I think it's super important in situations to just open the air. A lot of conversations are had. And I think what you're seeing is direct communication that's real, not fake. I'm proud of the work. I'm proud of the transparency. I think, you know, that's how men can better themselves and become, you know, a better version of themselves, which they pretty much everybody wants.
Because we always say here that there every team's got an iceberg. We just see the tip. Well, Tua kind of revealed some of the iceberg, right?
A little bit.
And it's, I think, maybe reflective of Tua and also the coach that you're comfortable publicly saying we're going through some things. You know?
They have a good opportunity. If you look at their schedule, best case scenario, they could start 6-2 before they go into a November gauntlet of Baltimore, Buffalo, Washington.
Well, all right, if you have it, can you put it up? There it is. Thank you. I mean, at Indianapolis, everyone's chalking that up as a winnable game.
Yeah.
They are going to be putting Jim Irsay in the Ring of Honor.
Totally
understand. And that first quarter is going to be wild in that very, very loud building.
I get it. Okay? I'm talking best case scenario.
No, I understand. And boy, then they play half their division schedule before they even hit October.
Tua is undefeated against the Patriots. At Buffalo on a short week, Thursday, that's tough. Let's say loss there. But
Monday night home date with the Jets.
Jets winnable, long week. Carolina winnable. Cleveland winnable. Atlanta winnable.
And the Chargers, it's winnable too
home
here.
Home for Chargers.
Yeah, sure.
They got a very, you know, favorable front half of the schedule, they can rack up some wins and get some confidence, and then you know, then it's a little tougher down the stretch.
Right, another short week.
Short week Baltimore.
Hey, at least short week home, at least for Baltimore.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Washington, bye. And then you got Saints, Jets again at Pittsburgh, home for Cincy on a Sunday night. Man, Miami and Cincinnati, remember the last time they played in Cincinnati? That was when Tua got awfully concussed on a Thursday night. Mm-hmm. The whole country was watching that.
Yep.
You know, just to bring it all back again, it's his health. But yeah, Miami has an opportunity.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Get out to a nice start.
Just kind of, again, those
win some division games.
Rush the passer, make some, wreak some havoc, and
use that speed.
And bow up, man, when it's December.
Yeah.
Bow up. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on the program. It's a What's More Likely Friday, which means it's time for, yes, you guessed it. Hit it.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Same to you.
Hey, good to see you guys.
Yes.
Hey, so Justin Fields is back, right?
Was he gone?
He was gone for an afternoon.
Yeah, the season was over for about 3 hours.
He's back. Okay. I saw him running around on the field today.
All right.
So let's talk some New York quarterbacks. Is it more likely Justin Fields leads the Jets in rushing touchdowns?
Okay.
Or Russell Wilson starts 12 or more games?
I will go. Good one.
Russell Wilson starts into December.
Breece Hall's going
to. I can't figure out what's up with Breece Hall.
What's to figure out with Breece Hall?
I don't know. They were talking about trading him this offseason.
Let's block for him. How about that? Let's do a little bit better job of blocking for him.
That would be great.
Breece Hall is still Breece Hall. The question is what I'm curious. That's the beauty of Justin Fields, man, is inside the 10, inside the 5. What are we going to get here? You know, he may vulture some Breece Hall touchdowns. So I'll do that because Russ starting 12 or more games is potentially a tall order. You know,
goes into December.
For him to start 12 or more games, obviously the health factor is there, but they'd have to be in contention. And Daboll's got to be feeling secure enough where he's not going to get an itchy trigger finger and go right to Jackson Dart to save his gig.
Right.
To say, look how he's playing. We need to be attached at the hip. Let's move on together. So I'll go with Fields leading the Jets in rushing.
Oh, fun. All right, so I didn't know we were going to do a full-on segment about the Super Bowl contenders when I wrote this one, because I was thinking about the Aaron Rodgers quote about the 10 to 12.
Yes, sir.
AFC North team, more of a Super Bowl contender this year, Bengals or Steelers?
Ooh. Hmm. Oh, man. Joey B is just...
He's the man.
The defense, though...
is not...
The Steelers' defense
is much better than Cincinnati's.
Right, and Rodgers was the man. Can still be the man.
Definitely was the man.
Question mark.
Showed flashes of being the man at the end of last year.
Gosh almighty! If I had to go push comes to shove, it's still a quarterback-driven league, and I got to go with Joey Burrow. I still. Rest on this fact that even with all the defensive awfulness last year, the Bengals had a shot in the final week of the season to make it and were the proverbial don't let them in the tournament team. So I'll just do that and stay with that. But the they're like neck and neck. And you can make the case where the Steelers are above it. But at the end of the day, with all due respect to a first ballot Hall of Famer, we're dealing with a Joe Burrow right now at the tippy top of his game. What else, Chris?
I'm with that. Not talking a lot about the Falcons right now. Interesting quote from Michael Penix yesterday saying that the Falcons should have one of the best offenses in the league. It's pretty fun. South Division team you like to have the better offense this year. Falcons. Or Jaguars?
Oh. Well, I mean, Bijan is tippy top, right?
Yes.
With all due respect to the runners in Jacksonville. I'll still take Trevor Lawrence over a guy that we've only seen for a quarter of the season.
I'm with you.
These are two guys you love, Drake London and Brian Thomas Jr.
I love both those guys.
Travis Hunter's a wild card, isn't he?
Travis Hunter's a wild card. Kyle Pitts lining up at wide receiver in camp so far.
Well, I mean, what else? Still at this point in time?
Still waiting for the Kyle Pitts breakout.
He might wind up on defense rushing the passer.
Why not?
At this point, let's see what we can get out of him.
Liam Cohen now there, obviously, and
I'll Duval. With Travis Hunter in the mix, I'll lean on Jacksonville.
Okay. Fun.
Boy, you're going neck and neck here with each one of these.
Yeah, those are good ones.
Uh-huh.
How about this one?
Sure.
Training camp sleeper team so far. Not really talking about these guys. More likely to win a playoff game this year. Panthers, Raiders.
Oh, I'll go Raiders. I like the way
they
Panthers
play the hardest division
brother,
in football.
Brother, I like the way the Panthers finished a lot. Okay? But we're still, I mean, did you know Geno Smith had, take a look at his numbers last year. The numbers he had last year.
Let's take a look.
He was spectacular last year. You have a 4,000 yards.
Geno Smith. Passing. Yeah, 4,320 yards. A lot of picks, 15 interceptions.
I got it. I understand. Ashton Jeanty, Raiders, Max Crosby, Pete.
Brock Bowers.
Brock Bowers. Yeah, I'll go there.
All right.
Yeah. NFC is a little tougher too, don't you think? Or you say the AFC West?
I think the AFC West is really tough. NFC tougher. Maybe,
I got it.
Overall. Quarterback room, you're more likely to have the most faith in this year.
Okay.
Browns, Colts, Saints.
Oh, I'll go Colts.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you seen some of the reports from Colts camp?
What do you mean?
Not glowing.
Dude, I don't understand why you would say something like that when you know right now means nothing.
I know, but it's fun to see the daily updates.
Like, we're not even in pads yet.
Helmets.
All right. Say what you will about Daniel Jones, man.
I've said a lot.
I know you have.
Some guy owes me a steak still, Mike.
Who's that?
Evan in Portland, wherever that dude is.
That's right.
Okay. You just called out. Evan's driving around Portland right now.
Well, he owes me a steak from 2 years ago, and he knows it.
I'll go Colts. Okay. You wouldn't?
Steak sounds
You go Flacco Pickett and the rookies over Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones.
I guess when you put it that way.
And you're going to go with rookie Spencer Rattler.
No, I think I go Colts.
Okay, what else you got?
More likely to be the higher total this year.
You're making me work for this.
So Von Miller said that he could get out of bed and wearing slippers or something and still rush the quarterback.
Okay.
Ooh. Higher total, Von Miller sacks or Terry McLaurin touchdowns for the Commanders.
Are you serious? Come on. Are you serious?
For the Commanders.
I got it. He's going to be a Washington Commander, Chris.
We don't know
Chris.
That.
He's going to be a Washington Commander, Chris. And when he is, you are going to draft him in multiple leagues. What's more likely? What's more likely? Von Miller finishes in the top three sack leaders of the Washington Commanders, or the number of fantasy teams you will draft Terry McLaurin on.
I'm going to try to get Terry in all of them. Von had six sacks last year.
Okay. I hear you. He's a Hall of Famer, first ballot. Yeah.
Touchdowns for the Commanders.
I got it. He's going to be a Washington Commander, Chris.
I'm really trying to speak this into existence.
Understood. Yeah. He will not be a Patriot, Chris. What else? You got one more? Is this the one more?
Okay. But you can have the one more ready, Mike.
Okay.
I got it.
More likely to be in the NFL next year.
Rodgers or?
Arch Manning or Nick Saban?
Oh.
A lot of chatter about Nick.
Yeah,
coming back.
Yep.
I don't know where that's coming from. Where's that coming from?
Pico.
Yeah, that's how I know it.
From Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I knew it as soon as Brockman said
it. What do you mean?
A lot of chatter over.
They're talking.
What do you mean they're talking at Fox? They don't even have any television shows there anymore.
Well, the one that they still have has been talking a lot about it.
Oh, Colin?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got to reach out to him.
Arch or Nick Saban next year in the NFL?
Nick Saban looks like a very retired individual on that set.
He's enjoying it.
Yeah. Mixing it up with Pat. Why wouldn't he?
What if a
he
team
wins every weekend and then goes home?
What if whoever has the number one pick blows out their coach to hire Saban and draft Arch?
There you go.
Okay. By the way, what I just said, Nick Saban wins every weekend and then goes home. He actually did that while coaching Alabama.
That's what I was just going to say.
And LSU.
Nothing can ever change.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I mean, I'll go Arch.
Okay.
If I had to choose.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'll
go Arch. Uh-huh. Now it's time for
you
to hit
one
it,
more. Okay. I did not know this.
My goodness.
Good job, Mike. Hey, guys. Happy Gilmore 2 is out today.
Today on Netflix.
On Netflix.
Which you can see right here on
Can't
Roku.
Wait to see it.
Yes, sir.
The more likely Sandler sequel you want next. Billy Madison 2 or The Waterboy 2?
Waterboy 2. Come on. Why would you even ask that question? Why would you even ask that question?
Billy Madison?
No. Why would you even ask this question?
Really?
Why would you even ask this question?
Billy has taken over the hotels. His son is an idiot.
Which one would give me one of my favorite humans in Henry Winkler back on,
exactly.
on the
that's
screen?
That's a good point. Okay. Good point.
Which one also, like that Bobby Boucher's son, he doesn't want him to be a water boy, right? Because he wants him to be bigger than the water boy, but then they both at the very end realize their love for water and how it makes people's lives better and you're healthier being more hydrated, and after said and done, you know what I'm saying?
All right.
What more can we do?
You guys were both quick water boys.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking.
Which one? Put a pin in this when Nick Swardson comes on. We'll ask him.
Okay, great.
Good stuff.
We're back.
That's a What's More Likely Friday. All right. When we come back, we'll take more phone calls and check in on Mike Del Tufo's pet rock, which is worth $423 million.
Oh, yeah.
Not to him.
Good job, Mike.
We'll talk about that. That's next on The Rich Eisen Show.
Do I get money?
Back here on The Rich Eisen Show, let's take a phone call. Idon in Phoenix has been holding on the longest. What's up, Idon?
Hey, what's up, Rich?
Did I pronounce your name correctly?
Yeah.
All right.
Idon.
Thank you so much. What's going on, sir?
Not much. Just trying to do the Eagles win-loss record. I'm trying to go back-to-back. Last year, I predicted that we were going to go 14-3 and win the Super Bowl. So
okay.
Let's try to...
So you have cred around these streets.
I believe so.
Would you be surprised to know that you're the first to play the win-loss game for the defending Super Bowl champs? I don't have anybody... here at all on my sheet. Here we go. First up, what happens opening night against the Cowboys, sir?
Oh, sorry, TJ. You already know we're gonna did it win.
Somewhere he's walking around his hometown
he's
saying,
like, wait, what?
Why did I just catch it? By the way, great shot, Don. The empty seat. Okay, that's a win at Kansas City is next.
Tough, but we're gonna win.
Oh, tough, but W. Home for the Rams.
That might be a little slip up. The Rams are coming in with some extra fire. I'll give them that.
Okay, you don't think Saquon's going to rumble for another 200?
I predicted he was going to go for 200 last year against the Giants. He got like 175 with a couple tutties. So no, but Saquon might do something. But I'll just give it to the Rams.
So you're now 2-1 at Tampa.
We're getting our revenge against Tampa. It's been too long.
3-1 home for the Broncos.
Win.
4-1 at the Giants on a Thursday night.
Oh, that's an easy win.
Easy win. Easy, big fella. 5-1 at the Vikings. Win. 6-1 home for the Giants.
That's another win.
7-1 off the bye at Green Bay on a Monday night.
We're going to beat them 22-10.
Wow, I'll even write that down.
Just because that's how the vote went. For them trying to ban our tush push.
8-1 home for the Lions.
That's a win.
9-1 at the Cowboys.
At the Cowboys, you know what? I think that they kind of figured out. I'll give them that.
9-2, the Bears at home day after Thanksgiving.
That's a dub.
At the Chargers on a Monday night.
win.
11-2, home for the Raiders.
Win.
12-2 at the Commanders on a Saturday.
It's usually their Super Bowl, and they always play super well. So I'll give them one.
12-3 at the Bills.
Win.
13-3, home for the Commanders.
And we will be sealing up the one seed with another win.
You did it again, 14-3, Aidan.
I mean, the talent's there. They're gonna prove it. I can't say much, and we're gonna win the Super Bowl like I predicted last year. I said it was gonna be the Texans, but they had a couple injuries, so they let the Chiefs sneak on in.
Okay, thanks for the call, brother.
But I think it's gonna be like that.
14-3, ladies and gentlemen. Aidan in Phoenix once again. It's an annual tradition. The rare we will beat them 22-10 because that was the vote of the tush push ban that wound up two votes shy. Find that fascinating. That's the first ever competition committee revenge game I've ever heard of.
I like it.
The last part of what's more likely is the next Adam Sandler sequel that you'd prefer to see.
Yeah.
Right? Billy Madison or The Waterboy. And I said The Waterboy for various reasons. And plus, as you know, certainly from what we are going to see right now in the sequel that you can see on Netflix of Happy Gilmore, right here on Roku, they like to have cameos of real life athletes.
Of course. Right?
Or somebody involved with athletics. And if they do The Waterboy again, you got to throw Matt LaFleur right in there.
Oh,
okay?
Yes.
Because he chooses hydration as his first round pick every time. He is Green Bay's Bobby Boucher, right?
It's true.
Matt LaFleur would be in Waterboy 2 in a heartbeat, and you know it.
LaFleur also French.
Ah.
Like Boucher.
Like the LaFleur de Lis.
Right. Oh, good job,
come
Rich.
On, dude.
Rich.
It makes, it I mean, just, I mean.
I say Bobby Boucher is much coach. Sense. He's a coach now.
I think Matt LaFleur should get his SAG-AFTRA card right now. It's so good of an idea. And speaking of the Packers,
I mean,
Mike.
My team.
Your team, because yes. You own how many shares of the Green Bay Packers?
I only have one because I gave one away.
And
I bought two originally.
Wasn't that, and didn't we once upon a time stay on hold to try and get
we
in
were
line
trying.
To
yes,
buy
trying
more
to get
shares?
Line.
The last
did
time
not
they
become
offered
co-owners
more shares?
With me.
We did not.
We did not want you
the
guys as part
was
of our
so
team.
Long.
It was too long, right?
Way too long.
Yeah, I said.
We're on hold.
Yep.
Way too long.
I got in.
Oh, Mike, congratulations, sir. You're buying lunch because, as you know, as the only public
owned
organization in the National Football League, their numbers are visible or need to be made visible.
Yeah, I actually could have gone and they have the whole.
They got the whole, you could see the budget, right?
I could see the budget.
Yeah, Mike,
yeah,
you're on the budget committee.
They open the books
right?
Like the mob.
Yeah.
They open the books like the mob, you know?
The Green Bay Packers apparently made in revenue last year, revenue sharing from the National Football League, $423 million.
Pay that man his money.
Well, that's the question is, do you?
No. I don't see one.
Pardon me,
432.6.
Don't forget the
.6 million.
How many shareholders are there? Can you? Is there?
I don't know, Mike. Shouldn't you know this sort of thing?
No, I mean, I only know that.
Aren't you afraid of your profit being diluted?
Yeah, it's diluted. It's like Facebook.
How much money are you getting?
0.0.
Full Blutarsky.
Full Blutarsky.
Ah. Well, I think there's a drop that
all right,
you could
so
have
according
used.
According to the Google machine. Oh, here we go. According to the Packers website.
So
there are
the
5.2 million shares
so the math
owned
this?
By 540,000 people.
Ah, but and they
none of whom receive any dividend on the initial investment.
That's BS.
It's just a donation to the Packers.
Why don't you complain, Mike?
I mean
you're a voice amongst how many?
540,000.
By the way, you could do the math. All 32 teams receiving this in revenue sharing. That means. The grand total of revenue from the previous year is shared by the National Football League amongst its 32 member clubs.
15 billion?
13 billion.
Yeah.
Oh. 13 billion.
Woo.
The B. Woo. Dollars? Yes.
So this is a good time for that that check to come through for Mike Brown.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Right? Yeah. And if you're Trey Hendrickson, you're like, Hey. Now there's a salary cap, but you also know what the cap's at, and you know, like, that's the money that you spend on players. And again, there's difference between cash spent and money spent and salary spent and all that sort of thing. You could do the math. I mean, there's a nice profit, and Trey Hendrickson's probably like, uh-huh, I hear you. Where's that Velcro noise? That's basically what he's saying. You know? Like, when do I hear Mike Brown's wallet ripping open? Again, that's the white smoke. Yes. The audio version of the white smoke that once Trey Hendrickson gets signed, you'll hear that noise wherever you are. Congratulations, Mike.
I mean,
on all
ready to buy another boat.
Rich, we got a trade in Major League Baseball.
Ooh.
Okay.
The Yankees have acquired Ryan McMahon from the Rockies.
Oh, that is.
Is it good?
That's great. Who did they give up?
Two minor league pitchers.
Who?
Including left-hander Griffin Herring.
Okay. Ryan McMahon is exactly what the Yankees need.
He doesn't make any errors.
That's one thing. I mean, the minute you knew the Yankees would have to get a third baseman, and certainly when Oswaldo Cabrera went down, you knew they'd have to do that. And I'm glad they did it now and didn't wait another week. Just get it done. Okay. Good move.
Yeah.
Now what? Now what else? Now the starter... Relievers.
Probably a reliever.
Right? Man, the other night when they were creating all those errors, and then Matt Blake, the pitching coach, got thrown out for arguing balls and strikes with the home plate umpire who I don't know if you saw that. You see, I forget the guy's name. There was a home plate umpire. He blew a strike three call on Oswald Peraza, pardon me, and tapped his chest at the dugout.
Like, my bad? Oh.
Oh, wow.
But then proceeded to make so many more bad calls that he then threw out the pitching coach and then threw out Aaron Boone for complaining about the pitching coach being thrown out. And then I decided, listen, if they have the option of not having to watch this garbage, I will take the same option. And I went, click. Yeah. It was so bad, I turned off Michael Kay, who's one of my favorite humans on the planet.
Can't beat the Blue Jays.
No, but you know what? Neither apparently can most of the Major League Baseball right now.
Yeah.
They went into Detroit and blew them out last night.
Detroit is struggling.
They blew them out last night.
9 out of 10.
Yeah. How are your Red Sox doing?
We're hanging.
You are?
Yeah.
By the way, at the end of the day,
we're a wild card team.
Your general manager, after trading away,
he might have been right.
Rafael Devers was like, we made this move to make the playoffs. And you were like, get out of here. And I was the other part of that chorus. And guess what?
We're in right now.
By the way, Sarah's message to you on social media on your birthday, which she was happy birthday to somebody who's happy to play first base for
the
Red Sox. Okay. There
it's
you
250.
Go.
It's nice.
They should put your face on that.
Jim Rome takes on sports.
Why? Because you're not playing me.
With rapid-fire takes.
And a lot to get to, and I'm not sure you're going to like all of it. Honestly, I don't even care if you like all of it or not. I have a job to do.
Scorching debates.
On any given week, you have lots to beef about. Take advantage of it. Get up in here.
He's the spitfire of sports smack.
She's not my fault. We will get to all of that.
The Jim Rome Show podcast.
Get up in here, and we'll beef later on. What's your beef?
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.
You've been warned.